Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to our first morning hour chapel service on this first Sunday of 2021. 2020. A lot of us are thankful to see the calendar turnover from 2020. How many of you are thankful to see the calendar turnover from 2020? A lot happened. Some of it not so great. COVID-19, coronavirus, that was a big one. We saw some people pass away. We saw a lot of people get sick. We saw a lot of people fighting over whether it was real or not. It was a mess. Cities on fire, violence in the streets, protests, riots, political posturing that ended up helping nobody at all, and small businesses closing their doors after decades of success. 2020 was by many measures a horrible year. It's almost irredeemable if we think of just the horrible things that happened. But when I think back on 2020, I find a couple of bright spots too. I find bright spots in my personal life. I find bright spots in my community. I saw people helping other people. I saw people coming together and doing things that maybe they never would have done had it not been for COVID-19 and for political unrest and for all of these things. I saw people just getting together and becoming what I believe God wants us to be loving, to be caring of our neighbors. And we had some pretty good things happen here at Morning Hour Chapel as well. And on January 31st, we're going to be holding our annual council meeting. You just heard about that in the announcements. And that's where we're going to share kind of what happened in 2020, the things that, that went right, the things that we can improve upon. And we're also going to be making decisions at that meeting about new deacons, new people serving in different areas in the church. We're also going to be talking about our budget for 2021. And if you're a member of Morning Hour Chapel, you have the opportunity to vote on the decisions that we're going to be making. But even if you're not a member, even if you're just a person that attends and you're not interested in membership right now, and that's okay, I would encourage you to attend the council meeting, which will happen directly after the church service. We'll take about a 5 or 10 minute break, let everybody get ready and set up, and then we'll start with that meeting. Because even if you're not a member, even if you're just an attendee, and I say just, and I really shouldn't say just an attendee, because that's just not right. It's not how we feel about the people who attend our church. If you attend Morning Hour Chapel, if you attend Morning Hour Chapel virtually, you will be able to get to hear a lot of the good things that we have planned for 2021. And speaking of good things, part of the service on January 31st, January 31st happens to be the fifth Sunday of the month. And usually I like to do something special on the fifth Sundays of the month. There's usually four of them in a year. And on January 31st, we're going to be doing some special things. We're going to celebrate all of the things that God has done for us through testimony. And I'm going to be asking some folks to volunteer, to give short testimonies, whether you're here in the building or if you are joining us virtually. We're going to be setting up a Zoom call where you can call in and give your testimony live from your living room, and we'll be able to put that up on the screen and be able to live stream that. So we're working on what that's going to look like. We're also going to be praying. We're going to be praying for healing. We're going to be praying for healing, for physical healing for those who need it. We're going to be praying for spiritual awakening in our world. And we're also going to be praying for those who, again, who are live streaming with us. If you have prayer requests, if you have needs, we want you to share those with us. So it's a new year, and these are some of the things that we want to do at the end of this month to not only celebrate the things that were good that God did for us in 2020, but also to look forward to the vision of Morning Hour Chapel in 2021. Having said it's a new year, I am sure every single person that is watching, every single person that is sitting here, has made a resolution or two. How many of you still do New Year's resolutions? Is that just like an old-fashioned thing now? It really isn't, because I've been reading on New Year's resolutions like all week, and people still make these resolutions. And nobody here made a resolution for 2021. Oh man, that's unusual. But a study done in 2016, this was a scientific study, they actually did all of this work, showed that one out of every 10 people who does make a New Year's resolution gives up on it in 2 weeks.
One out of 10.
Nope, 1 out of 10. 1 in 3, 33%, give up in the first 6 months. I'm sorry, 1 in 3 give up by the end of January. More than half give up within the first 6 months. A lot of people don't keep New Year's resolutions. And they give up on them not because necessarily they're hard. I mean, losing weight, that's not hard, is it? Okay, maybe it is a little bit. But people who give up on their resolutions, they blame changes in their circumstances. They were injured, so they couldn't exercise. That was what I blamed my weight gain on when I broke my arm and I couldn't exercise, so I just didn't, and then I ballooned up to 300 pounds. I'm back down to 280, so I'm feeling pretty good. People lost jobs and they gave up on resolutions about saving, and they gave up resolutions about doing things to prepare themselves for the future. Or they have other setbacks, and they give up due to circumstances, due to changes in their lives. And of course, some people just don't make realistic resolutions in the first place. I want to lose 150 pounds this year, and I want to do it by June so I can look good in a bathing suit. No, that's not a realistic expectation, is it? But according to some psychologists, success in remaining resolved, and that's what a resolution is, we resolve, we're determined to do something. And according to some psychologists, it comes down to two things. It comes down to intention and intentionality. And those things are similar but very different. Intention is the reason why we do something. That's what a resolution is, really. It's a decision. We make a decision that we want to make a change. Why do we want to make that change? That is our intention. Why do we want things to continue down a path that we decided years ago? I started studying to get my teacher certification in 2020. I want to continue doing that. I want to finish that course. And so I make a determination, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take these classes, I'm going to do this work, and I get my certification. That's intention. Asking ourselves what we want our lives to be. Understanding what it takes to make our lives what we want it to be, and then making the decision to get started, to take that first step. Intentionality are the thoughts and actions that fulfill our intentions. Because if we do not act with intentionality, we're going to fail. We need to be purposeful in the things that we do. If I want to, let's say, for example, pay for college for somebody who's getting ready to enter college in the fall, I need to be intentional. I probably should have started a long time ago, and we did, but I still have to be intentional about the things that I do. I have to act with intentionality. My intention is to pay for college. Intentionality means we got to stop spending money on stupid things. We got to start saving some more money. We got to just do what it takes to meet that purpose. Intentionality is making and sticking to a plan, right? We decide we want to lose weight. We're going to exercise. We're going to eat better. And intentionality means we're not going to bring in a case of Oreo cookies and hide it in the basement, right? We're going to keep those things away so that we can be more intentional about losing that weight. Well, in the Old Testament, there's a story of some friends who lived with intention and intentionality. They didn't allow their circumstances to change their resolve. And they actively sought to live intentionally. And the story of these friends starts in Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. Now, if you've ever heard me preach before, you've heard me mention Daniel and his friends several times. This is one of my favorite books of the entire Bible. And chapters 1 through 3 in Daniel are three of my favorite chapters in this book. And we remember these stories if we've ever heard the stories before. Daniel and the lion's den. That's one of those Sunday school stories that we hear. Maybe not all of it, but we hear the story of Daniel and the lion's den. We hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace and then coming out not singed, not smelling of smoke. We hear these stories about how God protected them from these deadly dangers. But why did God save these young men? Why did he give them protection? What made them so special that he would save one from a lion's den and three from a fire? Part of the answer lies in the next verses of Daniel 1, starting in verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Daniel resolved. Daniel made an intentional decision. He sees all of this great food, and I'm telling you, I would have a hard time with this. He sees all of this meat and all of this wine and all of this good food coming in to all of these other young men who are under the king's orders to learn and to get educated in all of the things of Babylon. And here they are. They're getting stronger. They're being built up. And Daniel says no. And the reason that Daniel says no is because Daniel was a Hebrew. He was a person of God. And God had given the Hebrews specific, very, very specific instructions on the things that they could and could not eat. Now, of course, we look at Daniel's circumstances. Things have changed, right? Daniel's not living in Jerusalem anymore. His friends and he have survived up to 30 months of a siege by an enemy. Over 30 months, the food in Jerusalem ran out. There was no more food. There was nothing coming in because the city was sieged. There was nothing being grown. And by the end of 30 months, people were starving. And in some places in the Bible, you can read even more graphic descriptions of what was happening in the city of Jerusalem. Mothers killing their children for food. Circumstances had changed. They survived the famine brought on by the siege. Now they're living in Babylon. They're living with the king's people. And they're being offered these great things. They're being offered education, and they're being offered food, and they're being offered all of these wonderful opportunities. Things had changed. And it would have been so easy for Daniel to change with them. Isn't that what we do? You gotta change with the times, Pastor Joe. That's what you gotta do. The young people want to hear that rock and roll music in the church every Sunday morning. We got to play some rock and roll music. Sermons can't be more than 20 minutes long. This is the Twitter generation. We can't keep people's attention for that long. You got to change with the times. It would have been really easy for Daniel to change with the times. And most of the other Hebrew exiles, they were eating the food. They were doing the things. They had changed with the circumstances, rolled with the times. But not Daniel and not his three friends. They resolved to continue living in a way that would be pleasing to God, because that's who they were, people of God. They decided that they would rather continue to starve than to change into something that God would be displeased with. But their decision, their resolve, would also have an effect on other people. See, we don't make decisions in a vacuum. When we decide to live for Jesus Christ, it can have an effect on other people. And look what happens in Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Daniel, if you don't eat this food, I could die. The king would kill me because I'm not doing what the king has told me to do. It's a real danger. And we see that sometimes in our lives as well. When people come to us and they say, you know, if you keep doing this, if you keep talking about God, you're going to lose your job. And if I don't say something to you, I could lose my job. A lot of bosses in that situation. But see, Daniel didn't just act with intentionality. Daniel made a plan. He already had an answer for this objection. He made his intention known. I'm not going to eat the food. And he made his intentionality known. And he offers a solution to the eunuch's problem. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. You notice that Daniel didn't insist on his own way no matter what. Daniel didn't just look at him and say, I'm not eating your food and that's it. He offered a solution. He offered a way that he could show that his determination, his resolve, would be given a good result, and that there was no danger to the chief of the eunuchs or anybody who worked for the king. It says, after 10 days, if we don't look as good as these other guys, we'll do what you want us to do. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and their wine and gave them vegetables. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. But maybe I could.
with the power of God and with resolve. Maybe I could do it. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, that's all of the youths that were eating the meat and drinking the wine, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. Daniel and his friends didn't let their circumstances change their resolve, and they were rewarded for it. It says in Daniel chapter 2, we discover that Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and Daniel comes in and interprets the dream. Only person on all of Babylon that can interpret this dream that the king has. And he's rewarded with a promotion. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are appointed to oversee the affairs in the province of Babylon where they were living. Good things happened because they kept their resolve to be people of God. Well, that's all well and good, Pastor Joe, but these boys go vegetarian to avoid eating illegal food, and God gives them positions of power. If I knew God was going to give me a position of power, give me more money, give me a better job, I might be able to just eat vegetables. I might be able to just drink water. But see, the story doesn't end with their promotions. Things get serious after that. We read in Daniel chapter 3 that King Nebuchadnezzar, being the ultimate narcissist, builds a 90-foot-tall, 9-foot-wide image of gold. And then he requires all of his government officials to come to the dedication of this image of gold. And then he tells them that when the music starts, they must all fall down and worship the golden image, and if they don't, they'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. Things are getting serious. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the fiery furnace." There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you, nor do they serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The Chaldeans. Doing the right thing, man. They are just on it, right? Now, see, if I'm the king, and I'm kind of an inquisitive guy, if I'm the king, my first question is, why aren't you bowing down before my idol right now? Why were your heads up and looking around instead of worshiping my golden idol? Let's go to that fiery furnace. But the king, he wasn't that inquisitive. He didn't ask questions. He wasn't that interested in what the Chaldeans were doing, but these Jews, they were standing up. Can you imagine hundreds of people around this 90-foot tower and three dudes just like, now that's a tower. And guess what happened? Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, When you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. I'll love you. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Here we go again. Daniel's friends have a decision to make. They need to be resolved about something. Either they're going to bow down and worship the image, or they're going to die. More difficult choice than just eating vegetables or not eating vegetables, right? At least I'm alive to eat the meat. This time I'm going to die. This time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to decide between two things. Bowing down and worshiping a golden image, or obeying the first commandment of God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the decision Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make. That diet resolution doesn't seem so bad now, does it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's resolve. That's determination. Sometimes I look at this response, and I've read this story hundreds of times, preached on it probably a dozen. And sometimes I overlook some things, or I don't look at things deeply enough. O king, if you throw us into the furnace, God is able to rescue us. And that's pretty straightforward, right? Strong statement of faith about God. God can rescue us from anything. The next part, though, is even a stronger statement of faith in God. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And sometimes I pass over that part. And this is not a statement of faith because the trio believe that no physical harm will come to them. What they're saying to King Nebuchadnezzar in that phrase is that it doesn't matter if we live or die. If we live, it's because God has delivered us physically. If we die, it's because God is delivering us to him. It doesn't matter whether you kill us or not. That is resolve. I received an email from someone here at the church on New Year's Day. The message was a reminder that God is in control of our lives, but it was also a reminder that we are accountable for our lives. I want to read part of that email to you. Psalm 31, 14 to 15 reads, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." As Christians, we know that our days are numbered by God. We are to daily redeem the time and make the most of it. I want to live in the light of the fact that my days are numbered and could end at any time. COVID has taught us that. When our days end on earth, there will be no more time here to live. For God, we need to walk in the good works he has given us to do. Let's commit each day to the Lordship of Jesus and walk in faith and obedience. And finally, when he calls us home, we can say what Jesus said in John 17, 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Let's live for Christ each day. That can be a New Year's resolution for 2021. First off, I want to thank the author of that email for sending it and for the reminder that living a life that is pleasing to God in Christ Jesus takes resolve. It takes determination. It takes making the decision every single day to live as God has called us to live in His Word. It takes a decision to hear and do the words of Jesus Christ in Luke 9, 23 to 25. And He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced death. To our knowledge, they didn't even struggle. They were thrown into the fire to burn alive. Jesus is talking about death here. Taking up your cross daily and following Jesus is not dealing with some burdens. That's the cross I have to bear, whatever that cross may be. And I'll bear it because I love Jesus. Would you die for him? The cross that we have to bear is death. Every single one of us. He's talking about being thrown into the fiery furnace. Will we allow ourselves to be thrown into that furnace and say, if I live, God is with me, and if I die, I am with God? Talking about being beheaded for not renouncing his name. And we've seen that happen in modern times. In the 21st century, Christians lined up on a seashore and beheaded because they would not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. He's talking about nails through your hands and your feet, and being raised up and crucified until you suffocate to death. Because that's what crucifixion did. It wasn't the blood, it wasn't the nails, it was the suffocation, the slow anguish of death. He's talking about a death that has us wondering, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words of Jesus Christ on the cross. Daniel resolved to serve God by not eating what the world around him was serving. Even if the world was serving up comfort and riches and physical pleasures, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego resolved to serve God by standing up when the rest of the world bowed to a false god, even if it meant losing not only their positions of privilege, not just losing their jobs, but losing their very lives. Serving Christ means being resolved to die rather than to bend to the offers of the enemy for a so-called good life. What are you resolved to do in 2021? Will you live for God? Are you willing to pay that price? No matter what it is. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his resolve, for his determination to die so that we might live. To die to save humanity that you created. Father, many of us are weak in spirit. Give us strength. Give us determination. Give us resolve. That no matter what the world tells us we have to do, that if it's against you, we will not bow down. We will stand for you, even if it means losing our very lives. Again, we thank you that Christ gave his. We ask that you would bless this time of communion that we're preparing to enter. You said, do this in remembrance of me. Father, let us remember exactly what Christ did. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Jesus never promised that following him would be easy, but he did promise that following him would bring us the ultimate reward, everlasting life. Think this week about what you are resolved to do for God in 2021. God bless you.